All right. Hey, welcome to this brand new thing that we're trying out. We have no idea what we're calling it yet. It's our version of sports in a sports podcast format. I'm Nick. I'm joined by Daryl.
Hello. Bienvenidos, amables amigos.
And I'm joined by Corey.
Hi. So, I wasn't expecting to need enough more of an intro.
Well, that's what happens when you do this with Daryl. So if you don't know who we are, we do some online streaming on Twitch and just hang out online all the time and talk to each other, usually when we're watching sports, and it's one of our favorite things to do. I am a former sports radio host. I worked for ESPN Radio at a station here in Austin, which is where we relatively all live. I just realized like one of you's in Georgetown and one of you's in San Antonio, so that doesn't really work, but... I miss talking about sports, and Daryl loves sports, and Corey is a big sports fan too, but he doesn't get to follow it quite as much. We're all friends who love this stuff and love talking about it, and we want to make this available to people who are big sports fans, who love sports, or maybe even just the folks who, you know, follow one sport, NBA, NFL, whatever, soccer even. Or maybe you just like a team or a player, you just follow that along. Or even if you don't know much. We want to open this up to as many people as possible. So we're really excited to start doing this. And guys, I think ultimately we can just talk about whatever. But today is a big day because the World Cup final happened.
Yes, it did. It was on television and everything.
It did. It was France winning it 4-2. And full honesty, we're not by any means as... what I would consider to be your traditional soccer fan.
Or football fan.
No, generally I only watch the World Cup for the Team USA.
So you don't watch the World Cup a lot, basically.
Yeah. And well, what's great about being a fan of the United States in the World Cup is, you know, if they win, it's like, oh yeah, take that, foreigners. We beat you at your own silly sport. And then when we inevitably lose, it's like, pfft, who cares? It's not even a sport we play.
I mean, that's what you expect, right? You expect them to lose most of the time.
So we can't, you know, if we do bad, who cares? If we win, suck it, foreigners.
Yeah, it would have been really nice if they actually made it to the World Cup this year.
I mean, that's really the killer of it, is that we didn't even get to enjoy the U.S. in this. But... like I said, we're not huge soccer guys. We watch the World Cup basically for the U.S. And I think this year I watched it with a little bit more interest because, for one, I'm trying to give other sports a chance because typically, and I think this applies to all of us, we follow football, college and pro. We follow NBA basketball, our team, the Longhorns, in college basketball, and, of course, the tournament itself. And then Daryl's a big NCAA baseball fan, and I'm a pretty decent MLB fan. Corey is not a huge fan baseball, but...
Not baseball, mostly. I will watch hockey on occasion.
So, yeah.
More of like esports as well. I can get into that.
So this is one of those things where I was trying to give it a little bit more of a chance, that, hockey, everything else, and... So I've been watching these games a little bit in the background, but today I really ended up paying close attention to it because it seemed like it was going to be an interesting game. Early on, you get France with the early lead off of basically an own goal, right? I mean, you say it's an own goal, but it flew off the dude's head at like 100 miles an hour. I mean, that's an exaggeration, but yeah. We play Rocket League and we've seen that before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really. It's kind of like a fluke thing.
It just kind of grazed his head just ever so slightly.
Yeah, and it just altered the direction enough to screw it over for the goalie and to make it go in at that velocity. But then they're able to even it up, and it seems like we're going to have ourselves a good match at that point, like really back and forth. And I guess a lot of folks would say the game wasn't really over until France had that 3-1 lead later in the second half, but I think it was pretty much done when they get that penalty kick off of the handball call. And I don't know if you guys know much about the handball rule, but I ended up looking it up a little bit more, and it refers to it being a deliberate offense. So it's something that normally would have to be done with a guy who's intentionally trying to hit the ball with his hand or his arm. And so, yeah, it did hit his arm, and we saw it on the replay, and they ended up making it a penalty, but does it meet the letter of the law, which is that it's supposed to be a deliberate offense?
I mean, it's really, you have to judge that, right? Like, what's deliberate? Like, that's on the ref, really?
But, right, but
they
the initial...
do it, like, the review thing, right? Like,
it's similar to that. I think this is actually the first time they've used this in the World Cup. Yeah, so normally they'll go with a call this directly on the field. And the initial call was it'll be a corner kick, which, you know, doesn't guarantee anything, but it definitely is a favorable setup for Croatia at that point, because then it's not just the goalie versus some dude who can go one way or the other. And so we had this instance where it bounced off the guy's hand, and they call it like that initially, and then they go back and, like, for the first time ever make this call, which, let's be honest, France is the better team out of these two teams, but it seemed to take a little bit of the momentum away. I'm curious as to what you guys think about that, or if you think that it wouldn't matter one way or the other.
Well, they also got hosed on that free kick where the French player basically just slipped.
That was the France's first goal, right? Like,
that was the second goal.
Or was the second goal was the handball thing, I thought.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Oh, okay. I'm trying to
So the first goal, the French guy slipped, and he basically took a dive. Like, he slipped down, and they called a penalty on the Croatian guy, right?
I believe so. Like,
I feel bad not knowing their names, but...
Also, I was reading them, and I was like, oh, we can talk about them for sure, and I was like, I can't say
I wouldn't be able
names.
To pronounce those correctly. I feel bad about it.
All I know is Mbappe, and he scored, like, the fourth goal, so the game was out of reach at that point.
Yeah, he's really speedy in that and did a good job, but... Yeah, there were a couple of instances I felt where Croatia got a little bit screwed over. But France, I think, like Croatia, let's be honest. I mean, there was a stat talking about it going into this game where they've survived three consecutive extra time games, two penalty shootouts. That was in the knockout rounds to reach that first final. And it's just one of those things where France is probably the best team that they face through the whole thing, and they're just like this potential team of destiny. Now, they're not like the best team in like World Cup history or anything, but they're just probably the best team in the field that was this time around. And again, I don't know a ton about soccer, but just having read up and seen how these other teams play and seeing how Croatia has survived, I mean, they both felt like one team felt like the team to beat, and the other one felt like a team of destiny in the sense that they just kept winning these really close matches.
Yeah, because they beat, in the two rounds before, they beat England, and then before that, they beat Russia.
That's right.
Russia was the lowest-ranked team going into the tournament, although they went on a hot streak. So they kind of didn't get the toughest draw there. And then England, which was sort of... kind of a middling team with some brilliance... Because it's just a fresh new group in England.
I think people expected England, especially when it was England and Croatia, I think a lot of people expected England to win that game. If not handedly, then at least to move on to that next round by a goal or something.
Yeah, that was my understanding, was England should have won that game.
I think it would have been a better storyline, right? Like the rematch of France, Britain. Let's fight it out instead of on the war.
100 years war, round two.
Except, as we saw in the third place game, that probably wouldn't have gone well for England either. So,
oh yeah,
they lost to Belgium.
That
third place game was really
bad.
Bad. They're like, oh, there's no fouls because no one's trying.
I mean, you're playing for third place. You kind of lost.
Especially when they gave up after they gave up that early goal. It's like, just. Go on.
I mean, you're playing for third and potentially
fourth. Bring it home, guys.
let's bring home the bronze.
But yeah, as far as that handball thing goes, it's really hard to tell what is deliberate. Like, he was jumping into the air and he kind of like has flailed his hands around and he just happened to hit the ball, or he purposely moved his arm down to hit the ball. You can't really.
I mean, it was really fast, and it's really hard to tell.
I mean, it's hard to tell, and I guess they could have gone with the initial call.
That
would have been less controversial.
Now, we're all football fans, and this is something that we see every week, a controversial call that might get overturned or anything on the replay. I mean, just one coming to mind, and we all follow the Dallas Cowboys, but, you know, we follow Texas teams in general. But when Dez Bryant, the not catch in the playoff game against the Green Bay Packers, if you don't know what that is, years ago, there was a fourth down. Tony Romo, who was the quarterback at the time, tossed the ball up way downfield. And Dez Bryant, who was their tall wide receiver, went up and caught it. Well, caught it, quote unquote. And so he had it in his hands. What you have to do is you have to secure the ball and make a football move. So you have to bring the ball in and make sure it's securely in your hands. And then a football move is considered like turning and running, or like taking three steps. And I guess he took two or three steps. I can never remember. And then he dove forward to get more yardage. And when he did that, he outstretched his arms. And when his arms hit the ground, the ball came loose. Now, they didn't consider what he did. Now, at the time, they ruled it a catch. But then they looked on the replay, and they called it an incomplete pass. They said that it was incomplete because he didn't make a football move and that the ball came out of his hands before he actually secured it. And so that was a controversial call that ended up costing the Cowboys the game, potentially, basically. And then, so we see calls like that all the time, but I'm interested to see, basically, and we won't know until, you know, we see within the next week or going forward in soccer, what the community reaction will be to that call.
Yeah, with all the, that's really bad. I mean, that's one of the things I really hate was when it's called on the field and then they like nitpick it going at five frames a second. It's like going pinpoint, say, oh, did he make a football move in this 50 microseconds? But I think in FIFA, they have to watch it at game speed. They don't slow it down.
Oh, that's interesting.
That seems like a better way to do things, but still, like,
yeah, instant replay is an interesting thing just because it can slow the game down so much. Now, I apparently had read that before this, people had been fine with it through the entire World Cup. Anytime it had been used, it seemed to, even if it, you know, didn't benefit your team, seemed to be the right call. And hadn't made anything controversial. So I think this is the first real big step in that direction. So I'm interested to see what you might think of it if you're listening to this. So you can let us know. We also take questions for this. We'll get to some of those coming up a little bit later. But guys, I don't know if you saw this that happened apparently at some point during the second half of the game. Apparently four people decided to run onto the field and interrupt the game. And, you know, we get people running on the field all the time, but this is Russia.
Yeah, I'd dump them off in a Russian prison, and you're on your own, kid.
I guess that's one way to handle it.
I mean,
what happens normally here when that happens? Do you get, like, arrested or you just get kicked out, basically?
Security takes you down to, holding, I think. And they might rough you up a little. I don't know. I've never gone streaking across the field or anything, but Putin was literally in the stands.
So he's angry.
So these guys may not have left the stadium. They might be a part of the stadium now.
I just remember...
be on the field so damn bad, we're going to bury you under it.
I just remember... I remember the old days in wrestling, when the fans would get rowdy and attack the wrestlers. And in New Orleans, at the stadium there, they had a place they called The Room. And if any of the fans attacked the wrestlers, they would drag them in there, and then things would happen that would discourage them from doing that again.
Just things would happen?
Things.
Like, there's no further explanation?
There's no... No one wanted to say what happened in The Room. But it did discourage further behavior of that
sort. Oh, no.
Well, I can't argue with effective stuff.
Results, right?
It's all about results.
People, I think this should be publicly caned in front of everyone, people who run.
Yeah. I don't really understand why people do that. It's like, if you enjoy a sport, why would you want to interrupt it by being an idiot?
Yeah, I don't get that either.
Why would you spend all that money, too?
I mean, because they don't show it on TV. Like, nobody's going to see it except for the people there. Like,
they very intentionally cut away or like go to commercial break or just avoid
to discourage people from doing that, like other people from doing it. Yeah, they showed it on TV. More people would do it.
Right. The idea being that if you're not seen doing it, it doesn't matter. Now, in the age of Twitter, though. And that's how we found out about this. I was actually just scrolling through Twitter looking at stuff for the World Cup and saw that four people, there's a video of it, which we can include a link to, where just four random dudes are being escorted off the field in different directions, to different gulags, if you will. it is not going to end well for them. Jeez, man. I got to tell you. Like,
I saw it live. They mentioned it.
Did they? I did not hear them say it.
So. Oh, the announcers mentioned it? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And it looked like some of the players got involved, too, to the like grabbing them with security.
Oh, yeah. I always like it when they get nailed, like in a football game or when the security tackles them in the outfield at baseball games. It's always good fun. I think there should be a law. There should be no like liability if you injure someone who is running onto a field.
I don't even think that's an issue because technically, why would there be? Yeah,
just passing.
I can't ever think of a time when someone was rushing the field like ended up suing or something.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, there's crazy people out there, and. I mean, like, we've seen it with, like, musical artists where people have, like, run the stage and attacked them. You know, that's how Dimebag Darrell died, and there was some lady singer, I can't remember her name, but that's how she died, a crazy fan.
It's
so you don't
scary.
Know. When that person runs up to you, you don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's see. I'm trying to look up and see if anyone was sued for this. Not that I can see. It looks like a lot of schools are sued, or not sued, but are fined a lot of money for their fans rushing the field. So that's good to know.
Yeah, in the SEC, it's
college football. Yeah,
I hate
it. Blame the school for the fans rushing the field.
Yeah, that never happens at UT games because we expect to win, and when we do win, that's what was supposed to happen.
We walk out calmly.
But these backwater schools, you know, they beat like the number 24 team in the country. Like, oh my God, let's rush the field. Nothing ever good like this will ever happen again.
Or Kansas beats Texas, you know? They have to rush the field.
All right, well, I looked up fans rush field injured, and then the word suing. mostly things about fans rushing the field and injuring their own fans. So, bravo.
Very good.
Very good, everyone.
Like when those tech fans like tore down the goal post. And ran them into the stands. They're barbarians out there.
Yeah, stop, really, stop. Like, it's too mean.
Tear down goal post. What they assholes. Are. Like, it's just bad.
Cheese-eating barbarians.
Let's see. 13 hurt when fans storm Oklahoma State.
Cheese.
Cheese is the most barbaric of foods.
So,
you better not besmirch cheese anymore, you bastard.
So going forward, I think I'll try to give soccer a little bit more of a shot when it's on. Watch it a little bit. Like I wouldn't even put it on before, but I'll try to keep it on casually and see if I can.
Yeah, I thought about trying to watch like English Premier League, which is, I mean, you know, like the pinnacle of watching soccer, I guess, normally.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately.
What about giving it a shot? I might try. I know some people. I have some friends who watch it.
Yeah.
They're fans of certain teams.
Ultimately, this podcast, I think, is, even if it's just this one episode, is, I think, about is about
confidence.
Opening your mind to new things and trying out new stuff. And that's kind of what I want to be able to do with this. So we'll get to your questions here in a couple of minutes. But I do want to talk about another big storyline of the summer, which has been NBA free agency. And I really can't think of a summer where so many superstars have been in flux. Maybe, maybe when Harden moved or Chris Paul. No, but that wasn't like, it didn't have quite the ramifications maybe that LeBron going to Miami did. So maybe,
maybe
it hasn't been this way
LeBron
since
LeBron moved.
Yeah, it hasn't been this way since the last time LeBron did something.
Yeah, I'm about to say that was
because everyone knows that's the most important move.
And that was when the Celtics got together, was it Garnett, Allen, and Pierce? Well, Pierce was already there, but
that was when LeBron went to Miami.
No, that was before. That was before.
Yeah, that was right before. It was like 2 or 3 years before.
Yeah, because that team ended up being the reason that LeBron James left Cleveland the first time to go to Miami. It's because Boston assembled this super team. Some really good guys like Kevin Garnett, who you could argue is one of the top power forwards of all time, and Ray Allen, who's a 3-point sharpshooter. And then you had Paul Pierce, who was like kind of your everyman. He did a little bit of everything on the court. And of course, people forget Rajon Rondo was on that team too. So like that was really the last big move. Maybe Pau Gasol going to the Lakers.
That was a big one.
No, that was a trade, though. That wasn't free agency.
Yeah, that was a trade.
Definitely not as big as LeBron going to Lakers.
Oh, well, no. I mean, that's...
Yeah, certainly not.
That's...
This is a big...
Lance Stephenson going to the Pelicans. That was a big...
No,
big move.
The Pelicans.
That was... That really shifted the basketball
landscape. Oh, yeah, totally messed up basketball forever.
Hey, now he's with LeBron in L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
I think Paul George's leg exploding was kind of a bigger sea change for the Pacers.
Now everyone can just ignore the actual NBA Finals because it'll just be the Western Conference Finals.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I don't want to say that Golden State is ruining the NBA, but
you
come
do want to say that?
But I mean, do.
I sort of do. Like I mean, most of I was fine with them. Like most of it was built until they got Durant, and it was just like, that just screws up the NBA. Basically,
as much as I would like to say Durant ruined the NBA, he is also a Longhorn, so I have to unconditionally love him.
Daryl has loyalty to Longhorns.
It's true.
Well past their having left.
And
especially since they were most of them are like one and done players.
Yeah,
well,
he was
NBA,
a freshman
when
me and Nick were freshmen. I went to see his games. Nick went to like one or two.
I did.
Yeah, the Texas was. What they make it to the round of 32 that year? Great job.
Yeah,
with all
they
the
almost got
the
to the round of 16. All
almost
right.
Made it to the Sweet 16. You know,
they lost
with
to USC.
Kevin Durant on their team.
Oh God, they lost to USC.
Ugh.
That was a pretty big team. They had Damian James and DJ Augustine.
I mean, because I don't like the Warriors were already winning. Like, did they really need to get Kevin Durant?
They won the most games ever with the team the year before that, and then they had Kevin Durant, an MVP, two MVPs on the same team.
It's ludicrous. Like, why?
Look, I mean, they didn't break any rules. They didn't do anything wrong in the sense that it was all in the up and up in the NBA sense, but I it's just not good for the league. People don't care.
It's bad for the league, yeah.
And the NBA PA, Players Association, the NBA Players Association really, I think, are the ones to blame for how bad so they got the new TV contracts. And I said, okay, we're going to bump up the salary. And the NBA was like, okay, what we'll do is that we'll bump it up in levels from year to year, and we'll just proportion out the remaining money that could be in the cap. It's like, okay, we'll bump it up $10 million this year, and then the rest of the money we'll just proportion out to the contracts that you already have. And the NBA PA was like, no, this is non-negotiable. We want all the money now. So the NBA was like, okay. And they bumped the cap up so even a team that was in the salary cap could add a max player. And so that's what allowed Kevin Durant to go. And it also, it led to a lot of really huge contracts for players that weren't that good. One of the examples that pops to mind is Timofey Mozgov getting a $50, $60 million contract.
Oh, contract. I forgot. Yeah. Mozgov.
So not only did it give the Golden State Warriors, it also, the Kevin Durant, it also saddled a lot of teams with really bad contracts.
Well, that's kind of their own fault, right?
And yeah, but they
signed those players for that much money.
Right, but it wouldn't have been possible without this.
And they also, yeah.
So you're saying all those players were just demanding more money because it was available?
Yeah,
because
there was. Like, every team had $20, $30 million, $40 million of cap space. And that they had.
Not everybody was going to get a Kevin Durant, I guess.
And a certain amount they had to spend if they were low
enough. Oh, they had to spend it, okay.
Yeah, there's a salary floor, too, that they have to meet.
I mean, I just think it, like, ruins the competition. Like, that pretty much. Like, you know, Golden State's pretty much going to be in the finals every year. Like, not a lot of people can compete with that. Like,
I guess. Well, yeah.
And it's not even just Golden State. It's like other teams now are trying to build super teams to compete with Golden State. Like,
oh, that, I mean, that's the thing, though, is I don't think you're going to get a super team to go against this. The Lakers, I guess, were the potential next pick. I mean, they have Rajon Rondo now, and they have LeBron James and Lance Stevenson. And
I mean, they need to get somebody else.
Lonzo Ball.
Right? Well, I mean, they're still trying for Kawhi Leonard, who's still at odds with San Antonio. And hell, we've not heard anything on that front other than rumors since, geez, I mean, like almost a year.
Yeah.
Trade August. Rumors on that front to, they're going to trade like three of their young guys to get Kawhi.
Who are you going to trade to? I mean, LA, I don't think is going to do it because they could just, I mean, they still have cap space. And they're going to have a ton of cap space in 2019, so they can just give him a ton of money next year when he's a free agent.
But they're not going to compete this year without him against the Warriors. They're not going to. I mean, adding LeBron's a big deal, but they're not. They were a pretty bad team last year, right?
But Nick, I'm wondering if Kawhi Leonard is playing a dangerous game here. If he's just going to sit out, if he doesn't get traded, just sit out the year, or if he gets traded to, you know, Toronto or wherever the hot rumor of the day is. And
can't the Spurs fine him for that?
I don't know.
I mean,
do
they have to pay him if he sits out? Like,
I'm not sure if they can file a grievance or not. I'm not really sure how that works.
How do you get paid if you sit out all year?
I don't know. This all well, he did this
be like, well, you're not getting paid. Sorry,
he did it this year.
Yeah, well, he was hurt, right?
Allegedly. Yeah, well, he could still say he's hurt.
Allegedly,
like I'm hurt.
I mean, they'd probably have to file something, right?
Yeah, I imagine there's some sort of mechanism for filing.
There has to be, or else people would probably sit out and be dicks more, right?
But like, Nick, he's not the only big money free agent that's going to be in that year. What if he? What Klay Thompson?
Oh, next year?
Klay Thompson is another two-way player.
One of the Splash Brothers from the Warriors.
So, Nick, if you're the Lakers and you have Kawhi Super Moody over there who doesn't play and who knows what condition he's in, or you can spend that money on Klay Thompson, who doesn't have the same ceiling of athleticism and skill, but is a sane person.
Is a sure thing.
I mean, he's a big part of the Warriors, you know, winning,
that's,
right?
That's a good point, too. You could just take – because let's face it, when Steph is off, usually Thompson is on, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you and take away one of the backup guys who can handle that situation, and suddenly you're making that team weaker while making your own stronger.
Yeah. And also, Kawhi and LeBron play the same position.
They have a very similar game.
And LeBron can maybe move down to four and Kawhi at three, or, you know, LeBron can play the two guard, I guess, but it's really tiring on defense if he keeps doing that.
Yeah.
That would be a hell of a defensive unit.
Be pretty dominant, I think.
Rajon Rondo, LeBron James, and Kawhi Leonard. Jesus.
You never know. Kawhi could just, you know, break his foot again or whatever.
I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe this is all just some big thing by Kawhi Leonard's family and we'll end up seeing him still play for the Spurs. I just think some Spurs fans are not very forgiving.
Well, obviously for us as Spurs fans, it's very frustrating, all this shit happening, you know?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I just want an answer. I saw a rumor a couple of days ago that Toronto is now in the mix.
Yeah.
And honestly, that would not be a bad trade in terms of not sending him to the West.
Right. Yeah. What would Toronto give up?
DeRozan.
Oh, that'd be pretty good.
Interesting.
I mean, but he's 29 and his 3-point shooting is okay.
He did improve this year.
Backed
he
it up
improved.
A bit.
Did, but it dropped off in the playoffs.
Nick, that's not important. Important is the regular season.
Yeah, the regular season is the most important part.
And Nick, I also wonder, you know, Kawhi Leonard says, or at least Uncle Denny says, that he wants to be the star in the big market. But if he's playing with LeBron, he's not going to be the star.
He's not. I mean, honestly,
Uncle Denny is not going to be the smartest guy in the room.
Uncle Denny is not the smartest guy in any
room. I know. Uncle Denny would like to pretend he's the smartest guy in the room. But if LeBron's there, he can't even pretend.
I mean, he just said he wanted to go to L.A. I mean, it could just be the Clippers, right?
Oh, Clippers, God.
Clippers have... The Clippers don't really have anything the Spurs want.
Uncle Denny and the Ball family.
Oh, the Ball family. Ugh.
Didn't Lonzo have some shady off-surgery nonsense?
Oh, yeah. The rumor was that he, the Ball clan, what's his name? LeVar, like, intentionally threw out that he had an injury to discourage Lonzo from getting traded. That was the hot rumor.
I mean, because he wanted to play in LA, right? The Lakers are nothing, basically.
Even though the Lakers didn't pick up his brother, LiAngelo. Who I kind of feel sorry for.
I feel sorry for all the other people in that family.
LiAngelo, he should have been, like, you know, a player who, you know, played all four years in college and then...
Did he get drafted at all?
No.
Yeah. Oh, Lonzo did. Sorry.
No, LiAngelo.
No, he did not get drafted.
And did he leave school early?
Yes.
His dad pulled him out because he thought... that he was punished too harshly for stealing from a Chinese mall.
Oh my God.
This goes back to like the people running on the god dang Russian pitch.
Why would you steal things in China?
One, you shouldn't do illegal things in your own country, but you ever seen Locked Up Abroad?
It's way worse.
Bad things happen to foreigners in other countries.
Yeah, my friend who went to China is like, you know, the Chinese authorities, they're not actively, except for certain things like dissidents and stuff, they're not actively going out there and hunting down people who do things. But if you get caught doing something, they drop the hammer on you.
That's fair.
Well, we'll keep a close eye on more of this NBA stuff. It is exciting to see LeBron go to LA. And I'm not a Lakers fan by any stretch of the imagination, but I would like to see some other team step up in the West to at least challenge the Warriors. Rockets did it last year. I mean, if Chris Paul's healthy, they could do it. But
see if Utah can build on anything. But just like Utah, they built a nucleus the other time and it fell apart. See if they can keep this together.
That old Utah team was actually really fun to watch.
Oh man, Gordon Hayward and Manu Ginobili just hated each other so much.
Yes, they did.
It was delightful.
All right. The other thing we did before we started this little show is we asked for your questions, what your thoughts were, and we got some cool responses. I think we should go through a few of them and answer some of these questions, but I like some of the questions because we asked folks, no matter what your level of interest in sports, what is a question you've always had about sports that you've never been able to ask or that you've never had answered to what you had hoped would be a reasonable answer, right? So this is the first one. Why are some things that are called sports and others are not considered, like marching band, badminton, cheerleading, dancing, to name a few. What dictates sport versus a non-sport? And that's from Ricky, also known as Helping Hand 97 on Twitter. So,
badminton is a sport.
Yeah.
It's very popular in East Asian countries.
Yeah, I think that one is actually just considered a sport.
I don't know why they listed that, but marching band and cheerleading.
Cheerleading, dancing. Those are competitions. Usually.
Those are performance arts.
Well, you can have like a dance competition or a cheerleading competition.
No, dancing is not a sport. Dancing is a sport.
I didn't say it was a sport. I said they are a competition.
Right. You have you have marching band competitions. It doesn't make it a sport.
Right.
Yeah.
But
what makes it a sport? Yeah, what makes a sport?
A ball. No, yeah. I'm kidding.
There's a ball in there.
There's not a ball in hockey.
No, there's like an object of, let's see, I'm trying
something.
To think if this is correct.
Are you trying to think of every sport you can think of and see
there's
a
MacGuffin.
An object that you hit
there's
or something?
There's an object that you do something with.
Hit or throw.
Every sport needs a MacGuffin.
Kick. A MacGuffin?
A MacGuffin?
On its on its own, it doesn't mean anything, but we have imbued it with importance. So just like a plot MacGuffin.
So are you saying if Quidditch was real, it would be a sport?
Yeah.
Because there's a MacGuffin.
Yeah. Right now, it's not a real sport. I don't care.
Because people run around with sticks in between their legs doesn't make it a sport.
No, that's not. No. I'm going to say no.
Although, side effect, UT, best Quidditch team. Just saying.
No, I'm ashamed of that. That's not.
Did they light the tower for that this past year?
They did. They've won like 3 years in a row or some bullshit. I don't follow.
That's
but
awful.
I just see it a lot. They win all the time. They're the greatest at Quidditch, and they light the tower every time because they, you know, it's a real sport.
That's why I don't donate to. That's why I don't donate when they call because of that.
I mean,
to discourage this degeneracy.
Oh god!
So sports need a MacGuffin. That's your distinction. Yeah.
That's a good rule of thumb.
I'm trying to think of a sport that doesn't have a MacGuffin.
A sport that doesn't have a MacGuffin. Man. I guess
track and field a sport? Like running is a 100-meter dash a sport?
But those
are that's a sport.
But those are physical
I mean
those are grandfathered in because of the Greeks, okay?
Oh, that's true. Yes. If it's an Olympic event, it's a sport.
What about like Greek wrestling?
That's a sport.
That's a sport.
Greco-Roman wrestling, so that doesn't have a MacGuffin.
Yeah,
it's all like Olympic things. Olympic sports don't need MacGuffins.
Yeah, because they're in the Olympics.
Because they're in the Olympics. Yeah. They get special consideration because
they were chosen. Yes.
By the Greeks?
By the
Greeks. Or by some commission or whatever the fuck
they're called. Don't you know anything that the Greeks and the Romans
I'm sorry, what's the Olympic thing? The blah, blah, blah.
Higher, faster...
The Olympic Association, whatever the fuck it's
called.
Oh,
the IOC.
That corrupt corporate...
the IOC.
Bullshit. Yeah, yeah, they decide what's a sport.
The National Olympic Committee, I think is what it's called.
Committee, that's the word I was looking for. So whatever they decide as a sport is okay with you.
Yeah.
So if they allow in, like, video games, that's a sport now?
No. Okay. Video games can never be sports.
No, because it's its own classification.
Yeah,
an
e-sport. We can talk about that later if you want to.
yes, that actually is a question here in a little.
But yeah, so I guess that's what you're sticking with. Olympic things and MacGuffins. Those are sports.
Olympics, MacGuffins, and...
Has nothing to do with what you do, like athletic-wise. Because golf is a sport, and that's not like super demanding. I mean, it takes a talent, like a skill, but
golf
most things
is a
do.
Sport.
Oh, you know what I was watching today, actually, on TV?
Oh, God.
I was watching the National Cornholing Championship.
Not a sport, though.
That is the most tense of sports.
Cornhole?
Cornhole is not a sport.
Cornhole is totally a sport. There's a MacGuffin.
I don't care. It's a bar game.
Being on ESPN doesn't make it a sport, either.
There's a beanbag. That's your MacGuffin. There's a hole that it goes into. Doesn't go into. It doesn't.
No, that is not a sport.
Is totally a sport.
According to Daryl's definition, that would be a sport because there is a MacGuffin.
Yeah, there's a MacGuffin.
It's a competition with a MacGuffin.
There's
a
way to win or lose.
We don't know.
There always is.
Same thing. Horseshoes. Washers.
I mean, so you said the Olympic thing, but what about like figure skating? That's a sport?
That's performance art.
But it's in the Olympics.
Yeah, well, they had to give something, so...
Like, that could easily just be in the Summer Olympics have dancing. It would be a similar thing, right?
They had to give something so the Canadians could win.
Well, it's sort of like rhythmic gymnastics. It's kind of like dancing, right?
I guess.
Okay.
It's sort of like a thing. So, I don't...
Those are things that I watch, and I have no idea what's going on, and I just... I just yield to the people that enjoy it.
I feel like dancing, something like that, could be as much of a sport as, like, skating.
An athletic activity requiring skill or physical prowess and often of a competitive nature.
I mean, that can describe a lot of things. Dancing is athletic, and you can have competitions, yeah.
Yeah, the CrossFit
It's not considered
games.
A sport by any... Oh, God. Those aren't considered sports by anybody, so...
Ultimately, I think it's up to, apparently, a committee that tells you what a sport is and what is not, and people constantly argue about what should be a sport and what shouldn't be, like golf and bowling and things like that. Ultimate
Cornhole.
Frisbee. Cornhole is not a sport.
Cornhole is... It was so tense, guys. These guys...
I mean, by Daryl's definition, it's a sport.
Fine, so. Let's move on
to the next
question.
Ultimate Frisbee is a sport.
Well, that...
No, it's played by... It's played
Stop
by
it.
Hipsters,
no, you
so
can't
no.
say
are,
cornhole.
There's a MacGuffin.
No.
It's a competition
a
with a MacGuffin.
No, cornhole is played by good, honest Americans.
What's wrong
right?
with Ultimate Frisbee?
It's played by degenerates hipsters. And scum hipsters.
No, that's Frisbee golf. There's a difference.
So I take my statement back. Daryl's definition doesn't matter because he's just a bad person.
He's just making it up as he goes now.
As most people did when they decided what were sports. All right.
Why is there so much standing around in football? How come sometimes the clock stops and sometimes it doesn't? That's from Kretzel on Twitter and our good friend.
Well, let's go over the rules. All right. So in just football, there are two sides. There's the offense, and then there's – no, I'm not going to go through all the rules.
Please don't.
But
the rule book of the NFL.
There's a lot of standing around in football because, let's see, there's a play clock that sets every time the ball basically stops, right?
Right. Or just when there's a new play. It doesn't
or when there's
stop.
A new play developing. Yeah. So while that's happening, a lot of these guys go 100% all the time. And so in between plays, they take a breather. Also, they have to wait for the ball to be placed properly. And also the what are called the chains, the down markers, to be moved so that they match where the football is in the field.
Yep. And also, they might have to, if they're changing players, if the offense is putting in their running package or if they're putting in their kicking or punting package, that stops the game. And if they change players, then the defense is given an opportunity to change players as well. So that also can slow down the game.
Yep. Ongoing chess match, basically.
If the ball goes out of bounds, it stops... at least for 8 seconds, depending on where you are in the game. Also, incomplete passes stop the clock.
Yep. Completions and other things like that keep the clock rolling, or if you carry the ball. But
college, the NFL. Yeah. Because college will stop the clock when they get a first down, too.
For just until they reset the markers, though.
I think
but
like
it stops
eight
the clock
seconds.
Momentarily.
It does, yes.
Yeah. Which makes college games...
But they,
go
the
a
difference
lot
between
longer, I think.
College
like, usually longer.
And pro yeah, is that there's no 2-minute warning in college.
Yeah.
And so that kind of acts as, I guess, the replacement for it because it gives you a little bit more time if you're trying to make a drive before the half.
Yeah. Although the timing rules do change, but there's no 2-minute warning to actually stop the play.
Yeah. Right.
But the timing rules do change in college football in the last 2 minutes.
That's true, yeah. Like going out of bounds.
Yeah.
Going out of bounds stops it completely until the ball is snapped. After in the last 2 minutes. Let's see, what else? Players getting injured. Reviews. Referees reviewing completely worthless calls, like against the Longhorns when they stop the game for 5 minutes so they can look at a stupid penalty that was turned down by the other team, and they just felt the need to just drag it on and on. And I have never, ever, ever seen any other game come to a screeching, grinding halt because the referees wanted to look at some goddamn procedural penalty that meant nothing and that they knew was going to be declined. But against the Longhorns, and when I'm sitting out in the goddamn sun when it's 95 degrees in September, they felt the need to make double check. The double check to make sure that those guys were lined up perfectly right.
So, last season, the Longhorns had an intense amount of reviews, and it was very annoying.
I am the mortal enemy of every Big 12 official. The Big 12 I'm sure there are some good ones.
Big 12 is pretty bad.
Never that I've seen.
Never that I've seen. They must play. They must do all the other games that I'm not at.
It's embarrassing.
So, it's just a part of the game, and it just depends on the play. But
I mean, why the rules are that way, this doesn't really make a ton of sense.
They constantly change them all the time. So
yeah. Also, why the rules in college and NFL are different, who cares? Also, like, why did they do that? Who knows? Somebody decided it was a good idea. I think they should all just be the same, but
nah. Skill levels.
Why
different.
Would they make them different? Like, I don't care. Every other sport, do other sports have stupid different rules?
Yeah.
Yeah, college does. They have
college,
the stupid possession
basketball
arrow.
And baseball.
Oh, yeah, basketball's dumb, dude. Dumb, too.
Dumb, dude.
Shut up, dude. You know what I meant. Basketball's dumb and stupid as well. Like, that's just, like, why?
At least it used to be a 35-second shot clock. At least they dropped it to 30.
My dad says the reason that they have the possession arrow is that the college officials can't be trusted to actually throw the ball straight up in the air for a jump ball.
Oh, that's fair.
See, it's a learning. Funny. It's a learning ground for everyone.
Your dad is hilarious.
All right. The Ray Bay asks about drafts. Drafts always confusing her. How's it determined who's eligible for a draft, the pick order, free agents, and the draft process? And is it similar for minor leagues? Mm.
It depends on which sport. There's different rules.
Yeah, completely different for different sports.
There's a lot of different rules, but most of them, when it comes to your pick order, is based on how a team did that year.
For the most part.
Yeah.
And then in the NBA, it's like, let's have some fun with it and make it a lottery, because that's fun.
So depending on the amount of losses you have, the more potential that you have for these ping pong balls to be in. It sounds ridiculous, right? Sounds like an act at a really bad strip club. So the worse you do, the more of these ping pong balls you get that is ultimately a lottery pick, and they all go into this basically what you watch when you're watching the actual lotto numbers being drawn. So they pick 10, right?
I think it's just 4 or 5, but they have like a bunch of different numbers on them.
Oh,
yeah.
And how they line up in the reader. And depending on where you are, you have a certain number of number combinations that are allotted to you.
Really insane.
And they have like this whole table. It's like this giant wall which has all the combinations and which combinations go to which team in the lottery.
Oh, man.
I think it is just 4 balls, but
so
they have...
incredibly complicated process for the NBA to, I guess, discourage teams tanking so they can get the first pick 100%?
Right. It's basically the idea is normally your worst team would get the first pick, right? The NFL is straight up.
Naturally, that's how it probably should work. I think baseball works that way too, right?
Order can change in an actual draft by trading your draft pick for players or multiple draft picks later on in the draft, so on
or
and so
can,
forth.
Or you can lose draft picks because of
cheating?
Rule violations.
Let's see here. Who is eligible for a draft? It depends on the actual sport. For instance, in basketball, after 1 year...
One year player, removed from your high school graduation or 19 years old.
You have to be 19 college, right? And you have to play a year of college basketball before you
don't have to play a year of college.
You just have to be a year removed.
A year removed from high school. That's right. I'm sorry.
You technically don't have to go to college.
But most people do so that they don't take a year off.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it makes sense. If you're good enough to go to the NBA, you're probably going to go to college.
Brandon Jennings presumably went to Europe, but a lot of European teams don't want to just have a player for a year.
Who's going to bolt to the NBA. Yeah.
That would probably be annoying.
So,
so like an 18-year-old one-year player.
In the NBA, yeah. So the NBA, you are 1 year removed from high school. In the NFL, it's 3 years removed from high school. Some people, a lot of people obviously play in college football.
Generally, yeah.
Some people play in junior college. There's also semi-pro leagues. It's
Canadian Football League.
It's Canadian. I'm not sure what the restrictions are for the Canadian Football League.
If you can go play there, yeah.
It's such a different game, too.
But there's a European Football League still?
There was.
Is there not exist anymore?
Not exist anymore.
Okay.
So there are, like, you'll see players when they do, like, the big lineup introductions where they don't say college, they say what high school they went to because they played semi-pro or whatever.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the thing that happens.
Baseball is weird. Okay, so baseball.
Baseball.
You can be drafted out of high school.
Yeah.
And then, or you can go to college, and then after 3 years, re-enter the draft. So if you're a high school.
Drafted out of high school? If you go to college, you have to be there for 3 years?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're drafted, but there's also like a billion rounds in the
You can draft just random people. Yeah.
And if you are drafted, does not necessarily, they do the draft during the College World Series.
Yeah.
So like a player who might be on his way to, you know, winning this thing, like, oh, you're drafted by the Yankees.
Yeah, they talk about it during the College World Series. Yeah, like, this guy was drafted in the first round.
A lot of times those guys will go back to school.
Like, you don't have to leave.
But if it's a lot of money, they might.
It depends.
Well, because a lot of the times the MLB draft is like so many rounds. You could be drafted in like the 10th round or something stupid. They're not going to pay you anything.
I feel like a lot of times they'll stick around for an extra year.
Yeah, if you're drafted like way later, yeah.
And minor league baseball doesn't pay a whole lot if you're low on the totem pole
on like single A.
So if you're like so if you're like a 10th or 12th round pick and you're like, I'd rather go to college where, you know, they actually, you know, there's a place to sleep and
because
like minor league players, you know, there'll be like three guys to a one or two bedroom apartment sort of situations. So it's like, okay. And when you're in college, you have a little bit more control over being sent wherever in minor league. So a lot of players, unless they're like Bryce Harper or some of these other players who get like drafted in the first, second, third round, they'll go to college for 3 years and then they'll re-enter the draft.
Yeah.
All right.
So for minor league baseball is kind of weird because there's like so much of it.
All the minor leagues are a bit strange.
Well, I mean, baseball,
NFL doesn't have one.
NFL doesn't have one. I guess NBA has the developmental league, right?
Well, it's the G League now.
Oh, okay.
The Gatorade League, baby.
Gatorade. Minor league baseball, there's like single A, double A, triple A, but they're all like team affiliated. So yeah, like the major league teams will draft people and just put them on their minor league teams.
Yeah, basically each thing is that you don't have a minor league team that does drafts. You just have the major league version of that team will either draft these players and then, like, if they want to develop them a little bit more, but they don't get the play time in the actual league that they're in, they'll drop them to that lower league. Or in the case of, like, the G League, it's more about, like, finding players who either weren't very well known or weren't considered
good enough
to...
Or just show up to tryouts.
Right, just show up to tryouts and are taken in. So a lot of that is giving people opportunities. And that's why the G League isn't a huge ratings number either, but
yeah,
no,
it's not a bad thing, it's just not quite the same.
I guess there's like a hockey has a minor league as well,
and in European soccer they just buy the kids when they're little and they raise them in their soccer
that's not how that works. I actually don't know how they do that.
They do that actually. Yeah,
oh, the soccer camp thing.
Yeah, they do. Oh,
okay.
I mean, I believe their soccer camps, I
like
think
they'll
they buy
sign
them.
Little kids to
contracts. Like
to 13
year olds and shit.
And develop them from
that's weird.
They show a lot of skill.
All right, Dustless Pass wants to know if esports should be given the same amount of TV airtime as other professional sports, or should they stay as a live stream only type of broadcast?
They should stay in the shadows where they belong.
I mean, esports has been on TV, like,
right? But
TBS
he's saying should
showing...
get this equal type of time that the rest of
it
does.
I mean, I can imagine eventually it might, but
yeah, but it
currently
probably
it's just not
get its
popular
own
enough
network, right?
I mean,
yeah,
they...
but I actually personally I don't have cable, so I prefer it stay, you know, on Twitch where I can watch it easily.
Didn't the Pac-12 sign a deal to show the Pac-12 network?
The Pac-12 network show like
maybe.
Their college esports shit?
Yeah, like Overwatch or something stupid.
Overwatch.
I mean, a game like that. Sorry.
Look, I don't particularly mind
CSGO,
it.
CSGO, maybe.
But it's been a constant, like, bitch fest from, like, diehard sports fans who don't like video games. Like, they bitch their heads off when... was it League of Legends that was on ESPN2?
Dota 2 was on
ESPN2 a while back, and
the
like, people were like,
big
where's
Dota
my
2 tournament,
where's my
the international international, which the prize pool is like $25 million or some shit. And it was on ESPN2,
right? So people were freaked out because they weren't able to watch.
Do those
their...
same people bitch about the spelling bee or the fucking hot dog eating contest or
poker,
cornhole
or bowling?
Cornhole's fucking... intense, dude.
Cornhole's not intense.
Yeah, people like my dad who like stayed up till 5 a.m. last night watching poker tournament.
Poker.
On ESPN.
Poker's as far from a sport as
here's the thing. ESPN, I think a lot of fans of it have been disconnecting due to, one, political reasons, and two, they like trashy TV shows on Fox Sports. So, sorry, that
I mean,
it's just my opinion. I just think that stuff is garbage. But
maybe
just
an all sports network doesn't work anymore. You know?
That's the thing. I mean, it's like it's the age of the internet now, right? So like a lot of
my understanding, like with cable companies, is ESPN's kind of
dying.
Expensive.
It is expensive.
So like. They don't really want it. Like,
so I don't think like a station like that would be ideal for this, because I think, one, it'll alienate more of their fans, and they know this. And even though it could potentially make them a lot of money, it might lose them fans over time and gain them new fans who don't give a crap about the rest of their programming. So I think it deserves to be on television, but it's such a thing that's related to the internet. It's almost like, why? We've got all these things that I can watch the internet on my TV now.
And deserves is one thing, but does it make money is the other thing.
Yeah, money, let's be honest here. Money makes the world go round.
How many people watch like a baseball game during the regular season? Like, do you think?
Oh.
I'm sure there's like numbers for that kind of shit. Like,
it,
how many people do you
thousands?
Think would tune in to esports on TV? Like, I mean, it's to maybe grow the audience, would put it on TV. That's what you want to do. That's the goal.
I'll bet you most of these people
Twitch.
Cable.
I mean, I watched some League of Legends like on Twitch, and there's probably like, I don't know, 100,000 people watching at any given time.
I'll bet you most.
That's not like a
cable anymore.
TV audience, you know. Like,
all right. Okay, getting mono.
What?
That's not a statement. That's a name.
Okay.
We can't. We don't have. I'm not a doctor.
Right? Yeah, but you shouldn't.
I don't know
anyone.
How to give you. I don't know how to give you mono. I have some ideas.
Getting Mono wants to know, how does someone from a state like one of the Dakotas or Iowa pick a major sports team to follow? And this is a tough question, right? Because here's the thing. I will give shit to anyone who now says they're a Warriors fan if they weren't a Warriors fan almost their entire lives, or a Lakers fan who was not a Lakers fan their entire lives.
Okay. What if you're a LeBron fan? Are you allowed to just be a Lakers fan?
See... Though? You're a LeBron fan. You don't get to be a fan of the Lakers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's on the Lakers.
I don't care.
So you're rooting for the Lakers to win.
The thing I hate the most, I can't remember what show it was. Maybe I was listening to the Will Cain show or something. And someone called in and was like, you know, I'm not a fan of any one particular team. I'm just a fan of excellence, which is why I am a fan of the Warriors.
No.
Like, I wanted to reach through my radio and strangle him.
That's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
That is.
You just want to win all the time.
That's
just
want to
be on the winning team. That's what he wants.
That's like, the worst kind of fan.
That's the most bandwagon bullshit ever.
So So how do you choose? I don't know. Like,
I would say I know a person from Iowa. He's a Green Bay Packers fan. I assume it's just proximity on that front. Or maybe your family likes that team already. Maybe they were originally from somewhere.
I was a Canucks fan. You've become a fan? Because my dad went to Vancouver on a business trip one time and gave me a Canucks shirt.
Cool. Just apparently all sorts of stupid reasons. Like, if you've never watched hockey, you can just pick a team. It doesn't matter. Like, I mean, I don't have to be a Dallas Stars fan or whatever, you know?
Oh, but I picked them because of proximity.
I wonder about...
Well, yeah, but you don't have... Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you're a Phillies fan and a fucking Cowboys fan, right? Like...
Yeah.
You have no proximity to Philadelphia right now. Well, he has a Texas Rangers fan?
He has a familial...
I have a familial connection to Philadelphia.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you be a Philadelphia Eagles fan then?
Because I grew up with Chase, my best friend, and he was a Cowboys fan. But the rest of it, I don't know. Right. My dad is a baseball fan, first and foremost. So when it came to sports, it was always baseball and always the Phillies. So I grew up with that. Now, he was a big Eagles fan, but I would spend most of my weekends with my friend Chase. Weeknights were reserved more for baseball. Also, we didn't get a lot of those games down here because back then you didn't get the MLB TV and all that stuff. So it's like you got to watch what was on and talk about what was there. So ultimately, I think it's if there's nothing there in your area and proximity isn't something you want to go with and you don't like your family, your dad's a dick, whatever.
Your brother tried to light you on fire.
Really?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Right. Really, it's up to you at that point. As long as you don't instantly jump on, like, from best team to best team, like that screwball on the radio.
Yeah, that's not. That's just stupid. Like, have a stance, man.
I was just watching and see which teams you like. I mean, or which players you like.
You connect with a team after you watch for a little while.
Yeah,
but I would say I would guess a majority of people go with proximity. Just. And, like, maybe, like, what their family or friends like, you know? Like, if you weren't in it and they got you into it, it's probably the team they like.
All right.
Yeah. And or just root against the New York teams and the L.A. teams.
That's a good rule of thumb to begin with.
Pick a team you want to be the enemy of.
Yeah.
Don't even
pick a team to hate. You don't have to pick one you like.
It's the best, yeah.
Root for chaos. That's also a fun thing. Like, I'll
give
you
chaos. It's
like,
pretty sweet.
We're Longhorns fans, so they've sucked fairly recently, or they've not been great. And as a result, I want college football just to be a madhouse. I don't want any of the teams to win out. I want it to be like this big discussion. Of course, then we get mad, right? Because the teams that we think or actually should get in get screwed. Oh, that's a whole other.
That's another episode.
Talk. All right, well, we'll wrap it up with this question from Fantonion, another friend of ours. Why is there not any time limit in baseball when games can go on for 5 or 6 hours, and can it be fixed? And this go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, this has been an ongoing issue for years with baseball, and especially lately, now that you've got the internet and all the stuff that's available and all these other sports that are moving at such a high speed, which is, I think, what you were about to say, Daryl, is why they made the pitchers hurry up between pitches.
There's like a clock now for the pitchers, right?
Yeah, I was going to say baseball is so old that there weren't clocks back then. People had to,
That's the.
Well, it was developed at a time.
People had to poke holes in bowls and then put them in trays of water to see how long it took the bowls to sink. That was their only way of telling time.
I'm sure they had sand timers at least. Damn it. Jesus, Daryl. Aren't the pitchers on a clock now, or they have a certain they have to throw the ball?
No, they threatened to do that, but then they didn't.
I went to a Round Rock Express game. There's a little timer.
Oh yeah,
and I couldn't figure out what was for, and I thought it was timing that the pitcher had to throw the pitch by the end of the timer.
I think it's mostly a way of keeping them.
But it was like a little timer on the field. Like, it wasn't on the scoreboard or anything. Like, nobody would know it was there unless you're, like, staring at it.
Well, and
like,
it takes that long because it's a sport that's based on the innings played and not a time limit.
Yeah, it's not a timed game.
And if you've ever been
an inning can take for fucking ever.
And if you've ever been involved in, like, a beer league softball tournament, you realize that a timer actually is terrible because sometimes you'll just get through two innings and that's it.
Well, I mean, you're scoring like 20 runs an inning. Like, it just takes so long.
You can go to a baseball game and it can be 2.5 hours or it can be 4 hours.
Or six.
Easily. Like, or it can get crazy. Like, because they just go to extra innings if they're tied and they can just go forever.
Unlike college football, which is always 4 hours. Matter what.
Nope.
Wasn't there like an 18-inning game?
Yes, a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. The Astros, wasn't it?
Just
I don't remember who was in
the Astros and the Mets.
It's just a fucking nightmare. Technically, college football can go a really long time because of the way their overtime rules work, too. Like, there was a 7-overtime game or some shit. And that's, like, takes forever.
I don't think the points scored in overtime should count towards the score total.
The final, yeah.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, that's just silly.
I think they should do it like
no stats should count in overtime.
One thing I do like about the soccer is how they do like the penalty kickouts and how it doesn't change the actual score of the game. It just says they scored this many.
It's like
in penalties.
At the end. Does hockey do that? Like, do they just give them an extra point or something at the end to say that they won?
I can't remember.
It's like an extra goal or something at the end to say that.
I think they just score it as like, oh, they beat them, so here's this extra.
A lot of people don't like the penalty shot thing at all. Like, they would prefer it just keep going. Like,
yeah,
I don't mind it. I think it's interesting. But ultimately, baseball has had this problem forever, and it's a slow moving game because it really revolves just around the ball moving and then the struggle on the bases themselves. It's a big mind game. And what's the stat? It's like some percentage of, it's mostly like mental over physical. Yeah,
it's 100% mental
and 0%
physical.
100% physical and 100%.
And then 150% mental.
But like in between everything.
250%.
In between everything, it's like, you can't speed up the time between innings because it's your commercial break. It's a tough question.
And you have jerk face managers who change their pitcher every other batter.
Oh yeah, that's the best.
Like Tony La Russa.
You have to wait for the pitcher to come out and he gets his time to warm up or whatever the fucking.
Well, he's got to warm up and then he gets to walk out from the bullpen and then he gets.
He gets his time on the mound to throw some pitches for a little bit. That takes forever.
Yeah, it's just a.
Just that baseball, things in baseball
take a long
time.
Then he throws two pitches, and then the manager comes out to talk to him.
Yeah.
And then he goes back out.
They
got
to take a little time out to go talk to him.
Throws another two pitches, and the catcher comes up and talks to him.
Catcher comes up and asks him what his favorite spaghetti place is.
I mean, there's a limit to those, right? Little timeouts they take.
You can only have one mound visit by the manager.
But, like, the catcher can run up and do whatever, basically.
No, per pitcher.
Oh per pitcher.
And then the second time the manager comes out, they have to change.
Just change your pitcher every
time. At that point,
yeah. Oh, they have to pull him at that point.
And then they throw the ball 100 times to catch the runner on first base, even though that doesn't work 99.99999% of the time.
Also, technically, you know, at bat could just keep going as long as the batter just keeps hitting foul balls. Like, it would never end. It could just keep going. And that just takes for fucking ever. I don't think there's a way to really fix that. Like, if you can't put a time limit on it, because that will just anger so many people.
Oh, first off, you got the purists who will hate it.
Oh, 100%, yeah. Just piss off most
of those
fans,
same
I
purists
think.
I think we shouldn't get rid of infield shifts.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Those do make the game go by faster. because no one can get on base unless they hit a goddamn home run.
There's no runs, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
That's another episode.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that upset us about sports. We'll be talking more about those, but we do want to hear from you. Ask us questions on Twitter. I'll also post more questions for you on there as well. And we also need your help in coming up with what the hell to call this thing. This first episode is just going to be like sports test, but like going forward, we need a name. And we don't know what to call it. And if we come up with anything, that's fine. But like, if you've got something that you think we should be called, like the Answer Man, or like Just Got Talking Sports, whatever.
I love your voices, Nick.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was thinking like Surrogate Sports Dads.
Oh, that's actually not bad.
Because I know that I annoyed my dad with a bunch of stupid sports
stupid
questions.
Stupid-ass questions?
Maybe you don't have that person in your life that you can pepper.
As long as you're not the mean dad who will tell people that the yellow line is on the field.
That's
how
right.
they know where to put the markers.
Yeah,
the yellow
it's true.
Line.
They paint that yellow line on the field.
So the referees know where to put the markers, yeah.
Or like the times that they'll put like those fake-looking monitors up in a stadium that look humongous for the longest time, be like, man, that's a huge monitor for that stadium. Like, oh, wait, that's a graphic.
Graphic, man.
All right, well, thank you so much for giving this a listen. If you liked it, please share it and let us know what you think and ask us more questions. And I don't know about you guys, but I had a lot of fun doing this, and then I felt like we got a lot more comfortable as this thing went along, too. And that's the other thing, too. I don't want to just be the guy who's, like, not going to talk about whatever. Like, we could be watching sports and be like, I'm really sad about this, and we're going to be real. Like, that's the other thing. A lot of sports talk radio is, like, a bunch of guys just talking and acting like, oh, I got the perfect life. And so...
Pretending that they're the smartest guy in the room.
And pretending that they're the smartest guy in the room. We just know stuff about sports. We don't know everything. We'll look stuff up.
Certainly not.
But we want to talk about it and have fun.
Outrageous sports takes.
Yeah.
Outrageous.
We've got a great idea for a segment, too, that Daryl and I both know exactly what we're talking about right now. Yeah. Hit the button. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll save that. We'll save that. So thank you so much for listening. Again, I'm Nick, Corey, and Daryl. And we'll talk to you guys next time.
See ya. Bye. Doop-a-doo.
Bye.
Doop-a-doo.
Doop-a-doo. Daryl's famous sign-off.
So it ends the way it began.